You're listening to Island Tribe Radio with Peggy Rubenzelis and Woody Pollack, where we talk programs, parenting, and good, clean family fun. This week on Island Tribe, we talk with Sally Adam, who is the family support worker for early childhood education and assistance at Chautauqua Elementary, and also serves as the Latino family liaison and interpreter.
Welcome, Sally.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you. And I was going to start off asking you if you could tell us what ECAP is and how it differs from Head Start as well, because I always get confused about that.
Okay. I'm not sure I can answer that thoroughly because I don't know enough about Head Start to tell you how they're different. But most people are familiar with the Head Start program. It's a early education program that's specifically for children who have been disadvantaged, generally because of low income. But there are other factors that play into that. ECAP is a full day program, which means that it's 6.5 hours long. It lasts the whole school day, and it meets 4 days a week. It's a free program. It includes two meals and a snack every day. The children are really well cared for, and there are 20 children in our classroom right now.
Wow, yeah. That's great.
It's a great program. The kids are lively and happy. They're hearing Spanish and English all day, and they're learning about science and how to be a good student, how to control their big feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm really happy to be part of the program.
Oh, that is wonderful. And so do they, is Spanish integrated throughout the day?
Or? Yes. The two teachers in the classroom, Lilia Longworth and Laura Favela, are both Spanish speaking as their first language. Mm-hmm. And so children hear both languages all day.
Wow. And is there, what's the percentage of students that are from Spanish speaking homes?
About 50% of the students in the classroom are from Spanish-speaking families.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So do you find that the students that are not are learning Spanish?
Yes, they are. And they're little, so they don't really know what's a Spanish word and what's an English word or how to separate that out. But they will oftentimes respond with a Spanish word. Like if there's a picture shown of a horse, they might say caballo instead of horse. Because that may be what they heard more.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's exciting.
Really? Yeah. Are their parents grateful that they're learning Spanish?
Yes, they're happy. Yeah.
Nice. You know, it's interesting as we're talking about that particular age. I grew up in Southern California, and my babysitters after school were the Chews, and they were from Nicaragua, and there was a whole lot of my childhood that was surrounded in Spanish, and so I have a real appreciation for that particular age group and being exposed to different cultures and different languages. It can be so powerful in their early development.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what happens in a typical day in the preschool? I mean, I obviously you talked about the snack and so on and so forth, but what happens in a typical day?
Well, the kids have a lot of different activities. They have a circle time several times a day. They sometimes go to the gym. They play outside. They have a lot of, it's not free time exactly. It's like choice time. And they have fine motor activities, gross motor activities, imaginary play, costuming, all of the typical components that you see in a preschool program. They have a second step program that's presented by their teacher and also by the school counselor who comes in daily and does second step with them.
That's really cool.
The families have family support services, which is where I come in. And I work with families on goals that they have for themselves. We work together to make sure that basic needs are met. We connect them with decision-making for the preschool. So it's really an integrated program that includes the voices of parents and the needs of parents. Let's see, I'm overlooking some things that we do in preschool that Peggy, you can probably remind me.
Yeah, and as a disclosure here is I worked when the first year that they had the ECAP on Vashon, I was the family support specialist for the non-Spanish speaking families because you didn't have, at that time, you weren't able to take the whole group because you were still doing more of your other job. And so we were on this team to start this ECAP program, and it was really hard, but amazing. So some of the things I remember is, can you talk about what they do for health? Because that was a really neat component that they had.
So during the school day, we talk about health and nutrition habits. We're very clear about the idea that you wash your hands before you eat. You wash your hands if you sneeze into them, for example. We talk about contagious diseases and how to take care of yourself. We also have a very healthy diet. There's no high sugar content foods. We serve milk and we have whole grain foods. The foods are all prepared by the school cafeteria, which already has a very health-focused nutrition. And so children are reminded about how to take care of their bodies. We also work with parents to make sure that kids are getting regular health checkups.
And dental as
and
well.
And dental, So we brush teeth every day. And we practice taking the right amount of time to brush teeth.
Ooh, that is so good.
And we really get into it, make it fun. And we have staff from CMAR Dental who come over and do dental checks twice a year. I do health evaluations in terms of height and weight and vision and hearing twice a year. So it is a program that's very focused on health and wellness.
Fantastic.
I remember trying to give the hearing test to the kids. And it's really hard to give hearing tests to young kids. It was, they were so wiggly and it was hard to tell if they were, but it's so valuable to have those tests.
Absolutely. And I should say that we work with a team of very talented and dedicated people from ECAP, from the PSESD, the Puget Sound Education District. They come over and support us very much in our work. So this next week, the health coordinator for our site is going to come over and do hearing screenings with the kids who didn't pass. Or who weren't able to do the tasks that you need to do when you hear the beep, raise your hand.
Right.
That's a pretty complicated thing to do.
It is.
So she has a special hearing evaluation tool that's a machine, and you put a little sponge in the child's ear, and it becomes very easy to get a reading of how well they're hearing. So it's, and also we use the machine to do the vision screening now.
Oh, that's good.
That just takes a picture of the eyeball, and that gives a much better read than relying on children to raise their hand or identify which direction something is going or whether it's a house or an umbrella.
Right. Because again, we're talking about a five-year-old, right?
Less.
We're talking
about children who are between 3 and 5.
Well, there you go. Okay. Yes. So yeah, that's a pretty complicated developmental task.
It is.
For that particular age group. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, catching these things early is amazing. And so going back to the school counselor, you said she comes in every day and she teaches Second Step. And I was wondering if you could just tell our listeners, what is Second Step?
The Second Step program is taught throughout the Chautauqua Elementary School. And it's related to developing social-emotional growth. It's focused on helping children to be safe in their environment and to know how to deal with large emotions again and how to, for example, say no when someone is doing something that is not productive for you, and to say stop. It's the program that we use for social emotional growth at Chautauqua.
Well, and Second Step actually moves up and is used in through the middle school grades as well. So mm-hmm. it's a program that carries on for the full sort of 9-year process. Well, 10-year if it's happening in ECAP. It's preschool, kindergarten, and then first through eighth grade.
Yes.
So having taught health and having had Second Step in my classroom talking about refusal skills and things of that nature, I found it to be really, really critical to kids as they're moving forward and sort of forming their ideas of who they are. And having set that groundwork so early is just, it's critically important to their growth.
Absolutely. And I think that parents sometimes want to focus on what sort of literacy skills their children are learning in preschool so that they're kindergarten ready, or yeah. they may want to know what kind of number concepts they're learning.
Yeah.
But I really think that health and learning emotional social skills are the primary thing that preschool is for, because you can't learn the other skills if you are overcome with emotion.
Yeah.
And can't learn to focus or take turns. So really, preschool focus is on social emotional growth.
That's really cool. So when I was there, I noticed that they had that the teachers had this part where they had to do like sort of self-observing students, which I thought was this really amazing thing. And they would see what social skills or academic skills they needed. And do you know what that was called?
Yeah, there's a evaluation tool that's called GOLD.
That's
and,
it.
And teachers are constantly measuring children on checkpoints. And those have to do with academic skills, physical skills, gross motor, fine motor, social emotional growth. And so we conference with parents 3 times a year to go over the results of those observations and evaluations.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed was that I think that now are they using that for kindergarten as well? Because I feel
I'm
like I've seen
sure.
it.
And, yeah.
And it was good because it didn't feel like a test, like any, like a, what do you call it? Like a standardized test, but it just seemed more like as a school counselor, I could say, oh, look, a lot of the kids are grappling with pulling hair. So uh-huh. I'm going to do a lesson on that.
Right.
Like it
yeah.
was really a great tool.
Even if one child is grappling with something, it benefits the whole group to have a lesson on it, I think.
Yeah.
So yes, the tool is really effective and useful, because it also generates suggestions for things that you can do at home. Let's say that the observed behavior that you want to increase is the ability to sort and organize things.
Yep.
The tool will note that, and then it will make some suggestions like take out beans and count them, and take out a number of different things and put them in order of smallest to largest. Mm. So it's a very useful program, and I think that a lot of parents are very, very happy with that.
Cool. This might be putting you on the spot a little bit, so if you can't think of anything, that's okay. But is there like a story that you have of a way that you've seen a student benefit from having this preschool when they made them more ready for kindergarten?
Well, I think just the fact that the ECAP preschool is housed at Chautauqua Elementary School, and we interact with the teachers in the school, makes the children much more ready to go to Chautauqua in kindergarten. Mm. And in fact, towards the end of the year, the kids who are in the older group, because it's a 2-year program, the kids who are in the fours group will go up to kindergarten and they'll spend some time there. Aww. They'll get to meet all of the kindergarten teachers.
Oh.
And they really get a feel for what Chautauqua's culture is and the physical building too. So they feel like it's their school. They feel that they belong there and that it's already their school. So I think that their ability to transition into kindergarten is really enhanced by being at ECAP or in the developmental preschool.
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I think too about the, you know, the whole little kids want to be big kids.
Yes.
And to be in the same environment and be sort of looking forward to, hey, this is what I'm going to be experiencing here really soon, because I'm moving from this place of preschool to school.
Yes.
Right. Just the motivation there and the connection, having them in the same building and being able to sort of commingle with the bigger kids. And
did the bigger kids ever come in to like volunteer or anything like that?
You know, that happens sometimes. It hasn't happened on a regular basis this year, but it does happen sometimes. And what I see more often is students who've been in the ECAP preschool will come back down and want to say hi and get mm-hmm. a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very fun to have them coming back in. And because it's a two-year program, the kindergartners who come back to say hello are coming into a classroom where other kids already know them
yeah.
from the prior
right.
year.
Right.
Oh, I bet it's so fun to yes, see the kids.
It is.
So did you, so living on Vashon, an island, is there barriers that families have? Is there differences, do you think, than just being in the city and having a bunch of preschools to choose from or whatever? What makes it hard for parents on Vashon to find a preschool?
I would say that people know about preschools on Vashon, but many of them are beyond their reach for financial reasons. There are 20 slots in the ECAP program, and we had 24 qualifying families this year. So that means that there were families who didn't qualify for ECAP and need to get access to a preschool program by other means. So some of those families were able to access the developmental preschool, which is a pay program, but they have a sliding fee scale. And some of the preschools on the island have scholarships, but the scholarships often don't cover enough of the tuition in order for people to afford that preschool.
Yeah.
So I would say the largest barrier on Vashon is cost.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so if you have, so this is like the package deal. You have this family education and health and nutrition. It's free mm-hmm. to qualifying, or there's room for 20 students. And it has all the elements, really, to be prepared.
Absolutely, yes.
Wow, mm-hmm. So how would a family access this, like, what is the process to get into this preschool?
They just need to give me a call at school. There's also an online form that is on the Vashon School District website, and it's a little bit tricky to find. You need to go to the Chautauqua section of the website and look for programs, and within programs there's preschool, and there's a sign up form in there. The best thing probably, though, is to call me. And
do you want to share your phone number?
Of course.
Okay.
It's 206-463-8594. I'll say that again. 206-463-8594.
And if a family isn't sure if they qualify or not, can they just call you and find out?
Absolutely, because income is not the only qualifying factor. So families should absolutely call if they have an interest in a full-day program that's free for their child. The one guideline for signing up for next year will be that children need to be 3 years old by August 31st.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's like no exceptions to that.
There's no exceptions to that.
Do you find that people who maybe don't know about Vashon might say, Vashon, isn't that like a place where there's no income disparity? Do you find that people say that type of thing?
That is a misperception that some people have, but there is a large group of people living on Vashon who have low income.
Yeah.
There are many families whose children qualify for the free and reduced lunch program. There are many families who have a medical coupon, who have, I'm blanking, Apple Health, or there's so many different names for the public health programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was working in the ECAP program that first year, I was kind of amazed by some of the lack of resources that we have on the island. For instance, we had the dental van that came out, and that was some of the, it's a barrier for families to go off the island to the dentist. Mm-hmm. Very few dentists took Apple Health. Mm-hmm. And then the van came out, but then the van stopped coming out and there was no dental. I know that now we have neighbor care. Uh-huh. But is there anything else like that is hard on the island that there just isn't an availability for parents?
I think you're pointing out the need that's highest, and I'm very happy that neighbor care has filled that need for dental access to dental care.
Yeah. So now that is, we have that now.
Yes. Yeah. That was the major barrier for people. I think that there is still a need for more preschool access and availability of programs that support children's artistic and physical health. So, for example, I think that there's been an increase in access to swimming pool passes or soccer club tuition. Mm-hmm. There's been an increase in the availability of art classes. The Vashon Arts Center has offered excellent full scholarships to arts programs for children.
That's great.
Which is really awesome. So I see a lot of growth and development in that. I understand that UMO has some resources to extend their classes to lower income kids. But access and to those programs is still kind of limited. I think the rowing club is trying to do more to invite families to apply for scholarships. There needs to be more outreach in Spanish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that low-income Spanish-speaking families will know about resources. So I think that that's a gap. And also health services for adults from Spanish-speaking communities are, that's a challenge area too on Vashon.
So Sally, I think that you prepared a parent, we usually ask our people for a parent tip. Something they can take walk away with. And what is your tip that you're bringing today?
My suggestion for all parents, no matter how old your children are, if they're babies or if they're 45 years old, is that we all have very, very busy lives and we get going on things and it's very hard for us sometimes to pause. But what I recommend is that everyone take dedicated time every day, whether it's 5 minutes or half an hour, to listen carefully to that son or daughter and give them your focused attention, your patience, your best listening skills. Don't be doing something else. Don't look at your phone. Don't look at your phone. Just give that other person your full attention and listen to them. Mm. I think that that's something that is very important to do with each child. It could be around a dinner table. It could be reading a book together. It could be playing with them and listening to their play. Listening and observing isn't just with your ears. It's with your whole self.
Mm. I love that. And I love how sometimes we think it has to be big. Like, I don't have an hour that day, but I love that it could just be 5 minutes and that would make an impact.
Mm-hmm. I think it would make a difference if it were a regular thing that children knew that they were going to get from their parent.
What is your favorite thing to do on the island, or what's a great story about something that brought you here maybe?
Okay. Well, I moved to the Northwest because of my husband's job. But we did have a choice about where we were going to live. So I looked at different school districts. I looked at Bellevue, Shoreline, Ballard, and Vashon Island, because someone that worked with my husband lived on Vashon, and my husband somehow convinced me that it would be reasonable to come and look at an island as a place to live. Mm-hmm. So I visited the high school and talked with counselors there and observed kids in their classrooms and in the central office. And I had a really good feeling about Vashon schools. I went out with a realtor to look at different properties, and they looked interesting. And when I was taking the boat back to the mainland, I looked back at the island, and I had this feeling, this very strong feeling, that it would be the stupidest thing I ever did if I didn't move here.
That's awesome.
Well, you know what? We're fortunate to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. As a wonderful person and a resource in our community. So thank you so much. Sally, thank you so much for coming in this morning and talking with us. It's been a real pleasure hearing about what's going on at Chautauqua in the ECAP program.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a real pleasure for me to share ideas and to be here.
Thank you. I wish just every kid could have this amazing program.
I do too.
Thanks for joining Peggy and Woody on Island Tribe. For more great parenting tips and information, go to voiceofvashon.org under shows and hosts and look for Island Tribe.